Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. Like I said, I want to apologize for the previous segment of only 15 minutes due to some technical difficulties. It is what it is, but I'm back. I'm going to give you a full hour of this show. If you don't know, if you're sitting down and listening with your coffee, tea, hot chocolate, OJ, pancakes, or whatever you're having for the morning meal, you listen to JT, a.k.a. the Master, always. When we're talking at this time in the morning, this is the Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say it again. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to the one and only me. Got a great show in store for you today. I'm going to try to talk about the NCAA men's basketball tournament. Maybe sprinkle in some women's, but we're probably going to stay mainly on the men's tournament. Going to talk about some naughty boys that are in the NFL, quite naturally. A lot of them are made quite a bit of news, but I don't think this guy made news earlier, but I'm going to bring it to your light again to see how outrageous some of the things that he did, or a lot of the things he did, and he's going to be spending some time for it. Also going to talk about what's going to take place today. Big day for guys that are trying to get into the NFL. Now, I'm not talking about the rookie combine. I'm talking about the veteran combine. We're going to be talking about that also, and probably starting off the show with that. But sit back. Hopefully you're comfortable. Hopefully you're with me listening to this. I can't say how much I apologize for the inconvenience of delaying the show for a half hour, but you're going to get the full hour, like I said. And if you don't want to call in and listen, you can always log on and listen to blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Log on and listen. Log on and listen to the archive. We always want you to listen no matter if it's live or if it's in the archives. We welcome all of it. We prefer you to listen live, and we even prefer you to call in. I gave you the number twice. If you've been listening to me for a while, then you know what it is. I really don't have to repeat it, but for those who are just listening, I do. We also have a chat room open, as always. Ask a question. Make a statement, a comment. Put your information in that chat room. I'll bring it out all the way live and see if we can addressed what you have to say in that chat room. Remember, whatever you say in that chat room, what you put in it is what you get out of it. Okay? Just come and you know what you're going to get into if you decide to do something negative in that chat room. I'm just saying. I'm not threatening anybody. I'm just saying. Anyway, let's move on to the business at hand. Hold on a minute. And get to the what's going to take place later on today. I'm not talking about the NCAA. I'm not talking about anything else but the NFL right now. The NFL will hold the first ever, listen to me, hopefuls, those wannabes or hopefuls of the NFL that want to get in. Today is your shot. There are 100 players set to attend, including a couple former Colts. On Sunday, March 22nd, the NFL will hold the first ever Veteran Combine. The event will take place in Arizona at the Cardinals practice facility, placing it near the league meetings that will take place in Phoenix this week. That's very convenient. So, excuse me. The owners, quite naturally, coaches, and any coaches that come down there, including the scouts, because it's close to the league meetings, it's just pretty convenient that whenever or during the league meetings, it's not a out-of-the-way trip for a lot of people that are involved in the NFL, and especially that are involved in player personnel in the NFL. So there will be 100 players attending this year's inaugural Veteran Combine, and their experience ranges from those who have started games at the NFL level to those who have never even appeared in a regular season contest. Very similar to the annual NFL Scouting Combine, in which draft hopefuls convene in Indianapolis to work out for scouts, these players will work out for scouts hoping to earn a spot on the team's 90-man offseason roster. 90 men, because all you need is an opportunity to get on that roster and get into somebody's off-season training program. You got a shot, and it's up to you whether you take advantage of that shot or when you come to the realization that trying to get into the NFL and play is not for you. It's a great idea for the NFL to hold this event as they give those players still hoping for another chance in the NFL to show off their skill. There are some notable names that you might recognize, but for Colts fans, probably the most significant and noteworthy player who will be participating is defensive end Jamal Anderson. Jamal Anderson spent 2011 season with the Colts, playing in 15 games and starting one and recording 24 tackles, 3 sacks, and a pass defense. It was an awful year for the Colts, but Anderson did a solid job and stepped up into his role with the team. In his career with three teams, Anderson has played in 77 games, in which he started 48, and has notched 132 tackles, 7.5 sacks, 10 passes defensed, and 2 forced fumbles. On Sunday, he'll be working out trying to get a shot to continue his playing career. Also seeking another shot is a former Colts safety, Joe Young, who you might recognize better as Joe Lefegee. He spent 3 seasons with the Colts from 2011 to 2013, playing in 36 games and recording 66 tackles, 4 passes defensed, and 2 interceptions. He was best as a special teams player, however, and there he really excelled. He spent the 2014 season with the Jaguars, but was released before the season started. He's also looking for another shot in the NFL. Other players such as fullback Dan Moore, offensive lineman Joe Breckner, cornerback Keon Lynn spent time with the Colts in offseason work, while linebacker Scott Lutris played in 4 games with the Colts. Here's the list, a full list of players who are participating in this weekend's first ever Veteran Combine. Armstrong, Sherman Carter, Jason Foster, Mike Golick, who happens to be the son of Mike Golick on the Mike and Mike program on ESPN, Graham Pockick, Sherman Carter, Greg Van Roten, Aaron Berry, Brandon Burton, Devron Carr, Kip Edwards, Saeed Lee, Jordan Love, Keon Lynn, Johnny Patrick, Posey, Greg Reid, Jordan Sullen, Ryan White, Jamal Anderson, Sammy Brown, Adam Carricker, Rakim Cox, Shahid Paulhill, Craig Rowe, Michael Sam, yes, Michael Sam, the Michael Sam that came out before the draft, was drafted by the Rams, released by the Rams, and picked up in the practice squad for the Cowboys, and then subsequently released by the Cowboys. He's trying to get back into the NFL, and he's been invited back, we'll see if he can take that step to get back onto a 90-man roster. Larry Black, Nate Collins, Marcus Forston, Dejon Harris, Byron Gerdo, Zach Minter, Everett Thompson, Terrell Troop, Dan Moore, and aforementioned Dan Moore, I told you about him, Lonnie Pryor, Harvey Unga, Ray Dominguez, Stephen Gooden, Michael Huey, Darius Morris, Justin Wells, Ian White, formerly of the, if I'm not mistaken, this is a Chris Baker from the Jets, the linebacker from the Jets trying to get back in. Brandon Copeland, Steele DeVito, Jake Doughty, Marcus Doughton, Darren Drakeford, Dan Fox, Khalil Claude, Thomas Kaiser, Jeremy Kimbrough, Scott Lutris, I already talked about him, he's probably from the Colts, Brian Roll, Vic Sooto, Philip Stewart, he previously played in the NFL, if I'm not mistaken, Philip Stewart, the linebacker, he's trying to get back in, Jordan Miller, Jarrett Johnson, these are quarterbacks, this is interesting, so some of these quarterbacks I don't know about, but I want to mention them because you never know. Jarrett Johnson, Mike Kafka, I know you heard of him. Brendan Kay, Keith Price, Zach Robinson, Darren Thomas, Tyler Wilson. And then we get into running backs that you may know. Michael Bush, formerly of the Oakland Raiders. I think he was with the Oakland Raiders, and I know he definitely was with the Chicago Bears. He's trying to get back in. Then we have Jewel Hampton, Quentin Hines, and Felix Jones from the University of Arkansas. Previously played for the Cowboys. Bounced around the league for a while, and then now he was out. Now he's trying to get back in. Mikel LeSueur, he's another one from the Detroit Lions, and I'm not sure who else he got picked up, but he was with the Detroit Lions, had some injury problems early on, and never really stuck. This quite naturally, especially for the running backs, probably their last go-round. And it's probably going to be one of the, besides the quarterbacks, it's probably going to be the toughest position to break in because the amount of running backs that are in the league and now the plethora of running backs that are due to be drafted. Running backs are going to be really have to show out in order to catch on with a team. And I would think these running backs are a little on long in the tooth, and it may be a little tougher for them to Darrell Scott, Sierra Wood are the running backs. And then we go to the safeties, which would be Jarrett McMillan, Charles Mitchell, Akwasi Owusu-Ansa, Kyle Sebetic, Manna Silva, Jawanza Starling, Joe Young. And then we go to the tackles. Josh Aladinoe, Jack Breckner, Manasi Fuketi, Randall Harris, Jamie Childers, Ifeani Momoa, Emmanuel Ogbuehi, Matt Veldman, Dallas Walker, Eric Waters, Joe Anderson, Ben Gatson, Lester Jean played for the injury problems and really couldn't catch on the pro concept, played in a few games, but for all intents and purposes, he didn't pan out as a wide receiver. Tekashi Kurehara, Thomas Mayo, Carlton Mitchell, Nathan Slaughter, Trent Steelman, Laquan Williams is the last one. Those are the 100 guys that are trying to get a shot in the NFL for the second time. Like I said, it's going to take place tonight. It's going to be, broadcast on the NFL Network. I think it's going to take place around 8 o'clock. It'll start at 8 o'clock. And it's going to be very interesting to see how these guys are going to pan out. If they're going to show some skills that they hadn't prior, or the guys that never had a shot or never really panned out the first time they tried to get into the NFL, have matured enough and developed their skill enough that it's developed enough to get a shot to be on a team. Now, I'm thinking, got 100 guys. Can you get 10%? Can we get 5%? I mean, I'm not thinking this is a one-shot deal. I think they're going to continue this year in and year out to give guys that, for whatever reason, medical, personal, or just physical development, never panned out the first time they were in the had an opportunity to get into the NFL. So it should be pretty interesting to see if these guys are able to pan out and have a real good shot of getting into the NFL. And if you have any comments about that, if you're out there, just call in 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. It's going to be very interesting because you never know what they're going to find out from these workouts. They found out quite a bit about the guys that are young, and I wouldn't say young and dumb, but young guys that brought their A game for the most part. Most of them brought their A game to the NFL Combine for guys that want to come into the league that are fresh out of college. This should be pretty interesting because I really want to see what the these guys have to offer. So regardless of what's going to happen, I'm going to be real anxious to see If some guys are NFL worthy, I really want to see that because I feel that sometimes these guys deserve to a second or third chance. You know how you have guys that play a one team, don't pan out for whatever reason, and go to another team. And maybe they don't pan out there, and then they move to another team, and all of a sudden the light switches on. And one guy that brings right to the top of my mind, the top of my head, so to speak, is Justin Forsett. He was with the Houston Texans. Trying to think what the other team. He was a couple teams before he landed with the Baltimore Ravens. And the Baltimore Ravens found a hell of a... When he finally got the starting role. And it was at the unfortunate... timing of Ray Rice in that Ray Rice incident that Justin Forsett his time to shine in the sunlight. Bernard Pierce, who's since been released from the team because of a DUI, couldn't show out. They had a rookie, Lorenzo Talaferro, who was inconsistent at best, and Justin Forsett had a career year. Now, is that because of the system that he was in? Because of the offensive coordinator that was there? And I'm talking about Gary Kubiak. He had been with Justin Forsett when he was the head coach, I'm talking about Gary Kubiak, of the Houston Texans. Justin Forsett had some opportunities and played some downs in that Gary Kubiak zone blocking scheme offense and running offense, and so he was very familiar with it. Was it the scheme? Is that what the or was it because Justin Forsett finally matured enough? Now I'm not talking mentally; I'm talking about physically. Matured enough to excel and be an NFL caliber starting running back. Are we going to get that from, and I'm not just talking about running backs from this veteran combine. I'm talking about guys in here that have an opportunity to get on a 90-man roster. All you need is the opportunity. That's all you need is the opportunity. It's up to you to make the most of it. Whether you run with it or whether you fall flat on your face is up to you. As long as you prepare yourself and do the best you can. And I'm not giving a rah-rah speech here, but this is how these guys' mindset have to be. Long as you prepare, get yourself in the best shape you can possibly get yourself into, and with the skill set of what's going to happen in a combine like this, and I imagine they're going to probably pattern it just like they pattern the rookie combine to see if these guys have the same skill set. Quite naturally, you got to have the same skill set. Nothing changes, just your age in being able to do this the drills that they ask you to do. So we'll have to wait and see. All right, what we're going to do is take a little short break, come back, and talk about some naughty boys. Naughty men in the NFL that paying a price or going to pay the price. Let me put it that way. And we'll be right back as soon as I find what I want to find. We'll be right back.
Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP Crew Show as they break down the weekend sports and prepare you for Thursday night football. 8 p.m. Eastern, just before the game starts, Jerry the Master Taylor hosts the show with Jeff the Joker Goldberg and Mike the Bookie Monster Wright. The three gentlemen debate and discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything on the FSP Crew Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
All right. We're back. Here we go.
Victor Gardner began the fantasy sports and politics brand with the idea of combining two of his passions into a radio show. He then learned that politics were 95% of sports. When you tune into the Fantasy Sports and Politics Show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Mr. FSP himself, Vic Gardner, and Jerry the Master Taylor will go over the weekend sports, prep you for your upcoming fantasy games, and spark a debate politicians would love to hear. That's the FSP Show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365 for other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Okay, we're back. I am JTAK, the master. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to the one and only me. All right, we also want to talk about this. We talked about, for half an hour. That was pretty wild, but that's okay. I want to talk about this guy. We had talked about this guy. In fact, I had enlightened these guys on the show when this first broke out. Quite a few people when this thing first broke out. And it's very surprising. Let me put it this way. This is not a bad-looking guy. This is a good-looking guy. Don't understand it. And it seems like this happened. I don't understand why it would happen, but it happened after he left the game of football and was a analyst, so to speak, on the NFL Network. I'm talking about Darren Sharper, former defensive back for the Green Bay Packers, former defensive back safety slash whatever you want to call him for the New Orleans Saints, is where he won his Super Bowl ring. And then he went on to become a, like I said, a analyst for the NFL Network. Well, he's had his woes ever since October, November of this past year, where he's been accused of various sexual assaults in various states. I'm going to read you this article that was dated the 20th. Coming from ESPN.com. And you won't hear the word, you will, until he's formally sentenced. But you won't hear the word name of Darren Sharper after he was sentenced for a while, because he's going away for a while. Five years after reaching the NFL pinnacle by earning a Super Bowl ring with the New Orleans Saints in an all-pro season, Darren Sharper is looking at a long stretch in prison after his lawyer said Friday the former safety reached a plea agreement that will settle rape charges involving at least 9 women in 4 states. I'll say that again. 9 women in 4 states. That's crazy. Darren Sharper is facing a long prison stretch after reaching a plea to settle rape charges. All the alleged incidents came after Sharper's retirement in 2011. And the cases involve similar allegations that he slipped drugs to women and sexually assaulted them when they were unconscious or otherwise unable to resist or consent. His L.A. attorney, Blair Burke, said Sharper would enter pleas in the Los Angeles and Phoenix areas on Monday that would resolve allegations there and in New Orleans and Las Vegas. Brian Russo, his attorney in Arizona, said his client will use video conferencing from L.A., where he's being held, to allow him to make a change of plea in Phoenix. Only prosecutors in Nevada provided the details of their part of the deal with Sharper. He is expected to plead guilty there Tuesday to one felony charge of attempted sexual assault, with the expectation that he'll face between 38 months and 8 years in prison. Clark County District Attorney Steve Walton told the Associated Press he had previously been charged in the state with 2 counts of felony sexual assault, each carrying a possible 10 years to life. A quote from Mr. Wolfson: "We are pleased that Mr. Sharper is accepting responsibility for the crimes he committed in Nevada." Wolfson said the Nevada prison term would run concurrent with other sentences in other jurisdictions. Another quote for him: "I'm not sure where he's going to serve his time, but he's going to serve significant time." The announcement came after a morning of closed-door meetings in the L.A. chambers of Superior Court Judge Michael E. Pastor. The Las Vegas charges, filed earlier Friday before the agreements were announced, had the same pattern as the previous allegations. Prosecutors there alleged that Sharper went club hopping with 2 female tourists and took them to his hotel room on the Las Vegas Strip, where he drugged and sexually assaulted them while they were unconscious. He had been sought on a warrant in Nevada, but had been jailed since February 27, 2014, in L.A., where he had been due for a preliminary hearing Friday after pleading not guilty to drugging and raping 2 women there in 2013. The New Orleans charges allege that he sexually assaulted 3 women in 2013. The Arizona charges allege that he drugged 3 women and sexually assaulted 2 of them in November 13th in the Phoenix suburb of Tempe. This guy is a serial rapist. Unbelievable. You would never see known it once you saw him on TV. Very, very, how could I say it? Very debonair. Seems like a good dude. Unbelievable. Wolves in Sheep Clothing. New Orleans District Attorney Leon Canizero wrote in a statement that he expects Sharper will be sent to Louisiana within 30 days to plead guilty to federal and state charges filed there. Canizero thanked victims in the cases for remaining involved despite personal attacks on their credibility. And a quote from Canizero says, "This plea constitutes a complete vindication of these victims as well as their truthfulness." Sharper had a 14-year all-pro career as a safety with the Green Bay Packers, and I forgot he played for the Minnesota Vikings and the New Orleans Saints. He played in 1 Super Bowl with the Packers and was part of the Saints' only championship season. He was working as an NFL Network analyst before being fired when the rape allegations came to light. Unbelievable. Oh, that's all I can say. It's unbelievable. Now, got to take another short break. a pause for the cause. Can't wait. So I'm going to play this for you, and I'll be back.
Party people, party people, say yo, get funky. Go sign and phone, say yo, get funky. Go do you later, say yo, get funky. Yeah, just hit me. Just hit funk.
Right, right, right. I'm back. Pause for the cause. It was, couldn't be helped. Mother Nature called. It is what it is. All right. Let's move to this. I want to talk about what took place yesterday in the NCAA, starting off in the East. What the hell happened to Villanova? Number one seed, Villanova, goes down to NC State, who barely pulled off a win against LSU. Really, they shouldn't have won it, but I can't say they shouldn't. They won a game. But in my opinion, they shouldn't have won it, but they won it. And Villanova went from a top seed to number one and done. NC State is back in the Sweet 16, attacking one of the top teams in the nation for 40 minutes, and stunned Villanova, like I said, 71-68 on Saturday night. Quite naturally, they came out with the feeling that everybody expected them to lose to a number one seed, and tell you the truth, they believed in themselves and thought they were good enough to beat anybody in the country. And Villanova, who was on a 16-game winning streak, has not reached the second weekend since 2009. Belief is not to say the word. I was on the FSP show yesterday, and I thought Villanova, hindsight's 2020, but this is the honest truth. This is the God's honest truth. I don't know. I'm pretty sure I didn't say it on any show. But when I was filling out my bracket, the four number one seeds that I looked at, I felt that Villanova was the most vulnerable. But no way did I not think they were going to lose to the winner of the NC State LSU game. I thought they were vulnerable enough to get past the round of 64 and a round of 32 to be able to move on to the Sweet 16. And they couldn't get past the second round, which is the round of 32. I didn't know they hadn't, and I got so many teams, 64 teams, something's liable to get lost in the sauce. And I didn't realize since 2009 they had not made it to the Sweet 16. But I did think, and I should have went with my gut, I went with my gut in quite a few of these, and I should have went with my gut about that, but I still would have been wrong, because the fact is I had LSU going up against Villanova in the round of 32. And then quite naturally, Villanova moving on. We'll never know what happened. NC State surprised Villanova, and I had Villanova going all the way to the finals. All the way to the finals. And for the most part, yesterday, teams held serve, to tell you the truth. The ones that played yesterday, and I'll go down these brackets. Now, the first one, quite naturally, Villanova at NC State. I had Villanova winning that to go into the Sweet 16. And in Northern Iowa and Louisville played today. I have Northern Iowa moving on in that 4-5 matchup. I had Providence in the next beating Dayton, but Dayton took that away. And now Dayton's going to go up against Oklahoma. And I think that makes it easier for Oklahoma to get to the next round, which is round of the Sweet 16. Michigan State, which is going to start off at 12-10, one of the first games to start off today. Excuse me. The number 7 seed is going up against Virginia. And I think Virginia is one of those vulnerable teams, too. Maybe not as vulnerable as Villanova, but I do believe Virginia is a vulnerable team. But I took Virginia to beat out Michigan State. The next bracket would be number 1 Duke, who is going to face the 8-9 matchup of San Diego State and St. John's. I took St. John's. Quite naturally, San Diego State won that. And they're going up against Duke. And I have Duke moving on to the Sweet 16. Then I had Utah and Georgetown, which I watched. And Georgetown with the 4 seed, Utah with the 5 seed. And believe it or not, I took the 5 seed. I took Utah. I just like their game. And Charles Barkley made a very interesting observation, and he was spot on. Spot on. He changed his mind and went a little lower, but he was right on time. This was Charles Barkley said if Utah gets to 75, he first said 75, and then Kenny and Clark on the pregame show and the halftime show kind of questioned him on it. Then he backed down and said, if they get to 70, they'll win this game. Well, and I felt the same way. Georgetown is not a high-powered scoring team. And one of the things I didn't know is Utah is the top three-point shooting team in the Pac-12. So they can light it up from three. So if you have a team that can shoot from the outside, because Georgetown likes to play that matchup zone or a defense that makes you shoot from the outside, that they had a real good chance of beating Georgetown, who really not a prolific scoring team. And that's why I took Georgetown. I mean, that's why I took Utah. So I move on in that bracket, and Utah's in the Sweet 16. Now, this other bracket that in the South is when I had SMU beating UCLA, and UCLA destroyed me in there. And then I also had Iowa State beating UAB, and UAB decided to say, no, Iowa State, you're not going any further. You're one and done. And then those two played yesterday with UCLA kicking out of UAB. Never was really a contest. 92-75, not even close. So UCLA, 11th seed, goes to the Sweet 16. And then later on today, tonight, is number 7 in this bracket, Iowa, going up against Gonzaga. And I have Gonzaga going to the Sweet 16. So, other side, a little closer, but I understand why, because this is a physical team that really holds the opponents down to what they normally would score. And the opposing team, the number one team in the country, the number one team in the Midwest region, Kentucky, wasn't on their A game, did not play that well, but played well enough and be able to, with all the trees and plays that they have, to pull out a win. Wasn't pretty, because a lot of times when you play Cincinnati, it's not a pretty game. When Bob Huggins was there, and now the present coach was there, it's just the same style. They play an ugly brand of basketball, a physical type of play of basketball. And I wouldn't say bothered Kentucky, but Kentucky was off its game, but not off its game as much to not come out with the win. So they move on. They win 64-51, and they go to the Sweet 16. Later on today, tonight, I should say, West Virginia, who I picked beating Buffalo, and Maryland, who I picked beating Valpacerio, play each other. West Virginia play Maryland, and in another 4-5 matchup. And I'm taking Maryland in that to go up against the juggernaut of Kentucky. And we'll have to wait and see what happens. As Bob Huggins is over there, if he happens to get past Maryland and plays the Kentucky Wildcats, he's got one of the best records against that Kentucky program than a lot of coaches in the country. So John Calipari and company in Kentucky have a lot of work cut out for them. And I think this game, no other game, got the attention of Kentucky, even though they won by 13 points. It's that if you don't bring your game, if you don't bring a better game, you may not fare as well as you did with Cincinnati. So you better bring a better game. You better buckle down and play a little better, because it's not going to get any easier from here on out for Kentucky. Moving down to the next part of that Midwest bracket, it was number 6 in this bracket going up against number 3 Notre Dame. Now, some people like Butler in this thought Notre Dame would be vulnerable against Butler. I'm not one of them. I like Notre Dame in this game, and Notre Dame came out with a 3-point win, 67-64, and they moved to the Sweet 16. Who are they going to face? They're going to face a team that I think is going to pull an upset in the 5-15 game today. I'm talking about the number 7 in the bracket, Wichita State, going up against number 2 in this bracket, Kansas. Teams from the same state. Both these teams, I wouldn't say both these teams. I would think Wichita State has a, and I expressed it yesterday on the FSP show, which is 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on a Saturday. where Vic and I, Vic Gardner and I, he hosts a show, I co-host a show, talked about this game and the reasons why I like Wichita State. Kansas and Bob and Bill Self refuses to schedule this game, in-state rivalry, refuses. Says there's no rhyme or reason, and it doesn't serve any kind of purpose to schedule a game. Well, that only puts a bigger chip on the shoulder of Wichita, because I'm thinking that Wichita State, probably in a motivational mindset, would think, and I would use this as a coach, that Kansas and their coaching staff and their team thinks they're better than us. So they're saying it doesn't serve a purpose, saying they're better than us, that they're too good and we're not worthy of playing against them. That puts a huge chip on your shoulder, saying, oh, yeah? Well, we'll show them. We'll show them what's going on. And that's why I like Wichita State. I think that extra motivation, especially in these tournaments, extra motivation. Now, during a regular season, it's not one and done. In this environment, in this situation, it's one and done. And who better to knock off Kansas but Wichita State? And who would get the most gratification out of that is Wichita State knocking off Kansas and being able to move on to the Sweet 16 and sending Kansas home, wondering what the heck happened. And Bill Self maybe second-guessing himself and saying, maybe we should schedule these guys to rest, that it doesn't serve a purpose. Well, we'll see at 5:15 when it tips off who's going to be the better team, Wichita State or Kansas. Then we move on to the West region, where the number one Wisconsin Badgers are going to go up against the Oregon Ducks, the 8th seed. I pegged this so far. I got this correct, right? So far, everything in the Midwest I got correctly. The other two brackets are what's really shaky, and this is part of them. But the top half of this bracket I got 100% correct. The bottom half is what I had problems with, but we'll get to that. Like I said, number one Oregon is going up against number eight. Number one Wisconsin is going up against number eight Oregon, and I think Wisconsin comes out of here and pushes themselves to the Sweet 16 next weekend. People in this matchup had Arkansas beating North Carolina. Arkansas being the 5 seed, North Carolina being the 4th seed. I wasn't one of them, and I was correct. North Carolina moves on to the Sweet 16 in a really contested game that North Carolina pulled away and won 87-78. But I think North Carolina's run in the Sweet 16 is going to end North Carolina's run is going to end in the Sweet 16 when they go up against number one, Wisconsin. Now, the bottom half of this bracket, part of it I got incorrect. The one part I got, and I should have known better, but I took a shot. Like I said yesterday on the FSP show, some of these matchups you have to take a shot. Especially early matchups, take a shot, and hopefully one team can. And it always happens. And if it happens for you, and you pick correctly, then you're a genius. If not, then you pay the price. Well, this two matchups, I paid the price. One of them was a big surprise. The other one was a toss up. Talk about the toss up first. I had number six Xavier against number 11 Mississippi. And I took number 11, Mississippi, and I changed it. I had Xavier, then I took Mississippi because I wanted to take a shot and go against the grain of what most people, I think, would have taken. And I paid the price for it. Xavier moves on to face the winner between the Baylor and Georgia State game, and everybody knows what happened there. That, to me, in my opinion, was a no-brainer, quite naturally. What do I know? What do a lot of people – and it probably broke a lot of people's brackets, except for anybody who really loved Georgia State. Georgia State won that by a point over Baylor, moved on to play at Xavier yesterday. But guess what? Xavier said, Georgia State, it was a nice run, but your run is over. Have a nice day and go home. Sit in front of the TV screen and watch the rest of the tournament. But you had a nice run for one game. So Xavier is going up against the winner of the next bracket, and that was VCU versus Ohio State, which I took Ohio State. I thought Ohio State, a Big Ten team, going up against VCU, the number 10 ranked in this bracket. Ohio State going up at number 7 VCU. I thought the Big Ten would prevail on that, and I was right. They beat barely, but they won, and they moved on to the round of 32. And then they went up against the winner of the Texas Southern and Arizona, which quite naturally a lot of people, including myself, took Arizona to match up against Arizona versus Ohio State. I had talked about this before, and I told Vic yesterday he thought that Ohio State had a very good shot at upsetting Arizona. I said no. Arizona is a very good team. Ohio State, I said that Ohio State, if they can play their Big Ten type of basketball, they will win, but I don't think it's going to happen in Arizona. I guess Arizona. And it didn't. Arizona beat them handily, 73-58, and they go on to face Xavier. Now, I think Arizona eventually is going to face Wisconsin in the Elite Eight, but we'll wait and see what happens. And that's a rundown of what happened in my brackets, and I want to thank you for listening. Tune in next week, where I promise we'll be back at 10 o'clock. With an hour show, as always, I am JT, A, the Master. You've been listening to The Master Plan. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the Veteran Combine. And enjoy the NCAA tournament. And we'll be back next week to do it again.